everybody. My name is Dustin Pischel, and in today's episode of The Chatting Comedian, I chat with Vob Hubel. Vob is a comedian, actor, and TV writer. Vob is the co-creator and co-star of the hit MTV TV show Human Giant, Vob was also the co-star of the hit Adult Swim TV show Children's Hospital, which is also on Hulu. Vob also got nominated for an Emmy for his work on Children's Hospital. Vob is also the co-star of the Netflix original series Medical Police. As an actor, Vob has appeared in hit TV shows such as Arrested Development, Curb Your Enthusiasm, 30 Rock, The Office, Modern Family, Family Guy, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Perks and Recreation, How I Met Your Mother, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., among many other hit TV shows. Vob is also a regular character on TV shows such as Big Mouth, The Goldbergs, Transparent, Bob's Burgers, American Dad, The League, among many other TV shows. Vob has also appeared in over 40 movies such as Despicable Me, Baywatch, The Other Guy's Life, As We Know It, among many other movies. As a guest and comedian, Vob has appeared on hit TV shows such as Jimmy Kimmel Live, Late Night with Conan O'Brien, Late Night with Seth Meyers, among dozens of other TV shows. Please welcome the amazing comedy legend and acting legend, Vob Hubel.
Wow, that was an awesome introduction. Thanks. Man. Yeah. That was really cool. Did you write that?
Yeah.
No,
I get it. Like, I look at other stuff that, like, you're on. Like, I go to Wikipedia and, like, IMDb, and then I copy. Well, I don't copy it word for word, but I just do an overview of what it says.
Yeah. That's a lot of research. That was really cool. A lot of people that do podcasts don't do any research at all. And then, like, I go on their podcast and they don't even know what I've done or anything. So that was really cool.
Thanks. So I start off every episode by asking the comedian, what's the worst heckler you have ever had?
Whew. Wow. Well, I should probably start by saying, like, I don't know if I do that much, like, stand-up. Like, I think you do. Is that what you do? You do more, like, stand-up comedy? Yeah. Well, I came up from the sort of the improv and sketch comedy world. So you don't always get heckled as much. But definitely I've seen my share of people that are not having fun in the audience, you know, like before. I think now I'm at the point where I feel pretty confident that I can write something funny and do something funny. But, you know, at the beginning, that wasn't always the way it was. And I remember looking out there and you'd see people that are not laughing or they're bored, you know, that's kind of terrible. I just got back from Colorado. We did some comedy shows in Colorado, and I hosted a stand-up show. And so a lot of times I'll host shows like that, and I'll come out as a character or some weird guy, you know, and kind of yell at the audience or be a jerk, you know, to them. Yeah. And so that's sort of like getting heckled, but kind of whenever you start talking to the crowd, like, you kind of have to be ready that they're gonna, sometimes they really want to jump in there and they really think they're gonna help you. They really do think that they're helping, and they're not really helping. You know, they're kind of messing you up, because you kind of have in your mind what you want to say and kind of like the way you want to say it. And then when people start talking or yelling stuff, it kind of throws you off. The shows I just did in Colorado, there were a lot of people. It was at this theater, and there were a lot of people drinking alcohol and stuff. And, you know, when people start to drink alcohol, after a while, they get kind of crazy and they get kind of loud and a little bit rude. And so sometimes I just tell people, like, I'll just look them. I can hear who it is, and I'll look at them and I'll be like, shut up. Yeah. You know, you just tell them, like, shut up. And then they do. They get embarrassed. So,
yeah, I've had, like, a few hecklers, and it's, like, really strange, like, when someone heckles a 13-year-old, it just feels so weird.
That must be really weird. Yeah. Are you, I'm sorry that I didn't do my research about you very much. Are you, how long have you been doing comedy?
I think 18 months.
Okay. And so when you go to perform, I mean, you can't go, you're probably not allowed to go to like bars and like comedy clubs. Well, where do you go?
Yeah, I perform like sometimes in person, but a lot of my comedy like was performed and it was like in the midst of COVID. So like I had to do a lot of like online shows and stuff like that. It's not as good as the VO experience, but like that's when I got heckled, and it's sort of weird because you can't really like bash them. Like I don't even know who's talking because a lot of times like it's through like it's like via some like platform or something, so I can't like see the person. Sort of like when you're in the club, the person's like back like where it's dimly lit, so like I have no idea who it is. Like I don't know anything about them, and I'm just like trying to find out who they are like while like insulting them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a good thing to just keep going. You know, don't let them trip you up.
Yeah.
And because really, the truth is, I think, that people are rooting for you. Not just you, I mean, because you're 13. I mean, like, they're rooting for me. They're rooting for the performer because they came there. Yeah. You know, they want to have fun. They paid money or they at least drove their car to the place and parked and went and had dinner and then came to see. So they don't want to have a bad time. They want to have a good time. They want you to do well. So I think you just stick to your guns, just keep going and don't let them mess you up. Really the heckler is usually just a person that's, they wishes they could perform and they don't have the courage to do it.
Yeah, thanks. So how did you get started in comedy and acting?
Yeah, well, I started really late, the opposite of you. I always wanted to do comedy, but I didn't really have the courage to do it, and definitely not at your age. Like, knowing that you're interested in comedy and really applying yourself like you're doing is really cool and really hard, because it's not really easy for a long time. And so it's good that you're starting so early so you can go ahead and get all the hard stuff out of the way when you're so young, you know, because like, so I started way later. I started when I was like 26 and I was living in New York. I moved to New York City. I grew up in like Washington, D.C., near there, and I moved to New York City, and I wanted to get into comedy, but I didn't really know how, so I had just like a regular job that I was doing. And then my roommate in New York heard about this new comedy theater that was opening called Upright Citizens Brigade, and I think you've interviewed some other people that perform there, like Brian Husky. And John Glazer performs there. And so we were all in New York, and I was just a 26-year-old that wanted to get into comedy. And so my roommate took me to see this improv show. And it was all these people that were performing together, like doing really funny scenes that they were just making up on the spot. And kind of they would just sort of like follow each other and listen to each other and kind of make it all make sense, you know, like whatever the scene was, if it was two doctors doing surgery or, you know, two old ladies eating lunch in a cafeteria, you know, whatever it was, they would just sort of magically follow each other. And I just got really interested in it after I saw this improv show and I started taking classes. So I was lucky because I didn't have to go out by myself like you and stand up there by myself and kind of you against the world. I sort of had this group of people to perform with, and I felt pretty confident that, well, if I'm not that funny, I'm sure that the six of us can be funny, you know? So it was a little bit easier for me in that way. Mm-hmm. But it's still pretty hard for a while.
Yeah. So I'm actually, I haven't, like, started, but, like, I take these online Second City courses, and I want to start trying improv, but, like, there's no, like, really places around me, but I think there might be a place in Boston or something.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where you are, but definitely in Boston there would be a place. Or, you know, if you Google, sometimes in high schools, I don't know if you're in high school or middle school, sometimes high schools have a improv team or an improv troupe. And it's a really fun way. The thing that improv teaches you is how to write, believe it or not. And because you're not writing anything, it's all in your brain, but you're writing on your feet. You know, you're writing, you come in with no idea what you're doing, and then you just start pretending that you're this guy or this girl or whatever you want to be. And so you sort of just write a story and write some jokes while you're going.
Yeah, because you only have like a few seconds to make it up. So it's sort of like you have to make up something good in like the amount of time you have.
Yeah, and it's not really like the way a stand-up has jokes. It's more like funny or weird things that your character would notice or your character would say, you know. So you're more like pretending to be someone that's funny, that the audience knows, like, oh, that's a funny type of person, you know. So it's more like, it's a little bit more like acting than stand-up is. You know, stand-up is sort of you being you, telling jokes that you think are funny or things that you've noticed that are funny, you know.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of your work on Children's Hospital. And Children's Hospital is such a crazy show in a good way. So what was the experience like on the show?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, it was probably like my favorite job I've ever had. Because, you know, imagine that you get to get paid money to go and goof around with your friends. Like, that's really what that was like. You know, it was a group of people that we were already friends in real life, and we all kind of knew each other from New York in different places, but we were living out here in California where I live. And so it was, yeah, it's the style of that show, the style of that comedy, I guess I would describe it as absurd. It's just like people with a straight face acting really normal and serious, but saying really crazy things and doing really crazy things. So it's the sort of comedy that I grew up really liking, just, you know, really a very specific style of comedy. But so it was always really, really fun. And I'm still friends with all of the people from the show. And, you know, so it led to a lot of really good relationships and friendships. And everyone has gone on to do really cool projects. And we try to use each other in other projects, you know, like whenever I'm writing something, if I'm trying to write a movie or a TV show, I always can think of those guys. And I kind of know how to write for them. And so I learned a lot. I really learned a lot from being on that show. And from, I wrote a few episodes of that show, and that taught me a lot too. So
yeah. I'm a big fan of like satires like that, like Curb Your Enthusiasm, like how they can just like, I've had this question on my mind for a little bit, because like I think every actor, for the most part, every main actor on Children's Hospital was also a comedian. So like, was there a lot of improvisation on it?
Yeah, well, the way they would do it is they would write the scripts, and then usually when we were filming, you would say the lines that they wrote for you, but then you would do, and they would do another take, you know, of the scene, and you could kind of make up whatever you wanted. Yeah. And so that was always really fun, because everyone was, like you said, they're all comedians and they're all funny and they all have their own ideas. And so the people that were directing the show were really smart, and they would say like, okay, now we'll do one where you can say whatever you want to say, you know? And so usually you don't really change the whole thing. Yeah. You would just kind of like tweak it a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you would say it, just something funny, some other funny idea that popped into your head, you know. But they were always really funny about letting us improvise, and kind of make up our own stuff too.
Yeah, I remember on the first one of the episodes, like, when there was this girl, she was giving a presentation on, like, cancer or what and whatnot, and you went, man, that was really nice. I wish I had cancer.
Yeah, yeah, I think, like, I don't remember that exactly, but that sounds like something I would say. Yeah. It's all like that sort of stuff is really funny to me because it's people saying really dumb stuff, but they think they're really smart.
Yeah.
Or they, they're not trying to be funny. So I love that kind of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how did you get the role of Dr. Owen on Children's Hospital?
Well, great question. We were all friends, and so they just let me do it. You know, it was one of the, I don't know how much you know, normally how things are done is, they send you a script and then you have to audition for it. So, you know, you have to kind of like practice the lines and memorize some lines, and then you go in and there's a director and like a producer and like a casting director, and then you sort of audition for it, and then sometimes you never hear anything back, which means you didn't get it, or sometimes you get it. And but this was one of those jobs where I already knew all the people that were doing the show. The guy that started it was this guy, Rob Corddry, and he was a friend of mine from Upright Citizens Brigade in New York. And so he kind of put the whole thing together and wrote the first season, I think. And so he just asked me to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I would have done it for free, but they paid me a little bit.
Yeah, so... not just on Children's Hospital, but what's your craziest on set story?
Whew, from any show ever?
Yeah, any show.
Oh man. Well, okay, I can tell you a pretty crazy one that I just had happen to me. Mm-hmm. There's a show right now on Netflix. Do you have Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a show on Netflix with Will Arnett called Murderville. And it's a comedy show where Will Arnett plays a detective and he's trying to solve a murder. So every episode he's trying to solve a murder. And the other thing they do is every episode he has a brand new partner as a detective. And so that's always a famous comedian. It's like they did it with Conan O'Brien was in one episode. Kumail Nanjiani was in one episode. So they have all these different comedians come on and they pretend to be his partner trying to solve this murder. And so in my episode, I got to be the suspect. I was the murder suspect. And I got to play three... different characters. They were triplets. I played three brothers. And so Will and his new partner went around and they interviewed three different guys, and it was all me pretending to be different guys, and they're trying to solve this murder. So anyway, the guy in my episode that was Will's new cop partner was this famous football player from the NFL named Marshawn Lynch. Do you know who that is? He's a really big guy. He was on the Seattle Seahawks for a long time. He's a running back. He's got like long hair and he's like really big. And he was a super good running back and like really kind of a aggressive, like scary guy, you know? So now I think he's retired from football. And so he came on the show. And so he was allowed to kind of do whatever he wanted to do. So Will and everybody else, they have specific lines that they say in the show. And Marshawn can say or do whatever he wants. He's just trying to solve this murder. And so in one part of the show, my character jumped out behind a couch. And I was wearing a gas mask and I had a baseball bat. Yeah. And I ran at him like I was going to hit him. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wasn't going to hit him, but he didn't know that. And he's like bigger than me and stronger than me. So he picked me up and like threw me on the couch and like ripped off my gas mask and ripped away my baseball bat. And none of that was supposed to happen. Yeah. We didn't talk about that. We didn't plan for that or anything. It was just a football player doing what he was trained to do when, you know, when another guy is running at him, especially with a baseball bat. So it really, for, you know, just that second, I was scared. I was like, oh, what's happening? You know, why am I up in the air getting tackled by this guy? So that was pretty crazy.
Did he know that it was like acting or no?
I think he did. And I think he was, he wasn't going to hurt me. You know, he's such a big physical guy that I think he was in total control and I don't think he was going to like break my neck or anything like that. I mean, he, you know, if he really wanted to hurt me, he would have tackled me on the floor. He picked me, like tackled me into the couch, which didn't hurt at all. So it was just, it just kind of scared me. But you know, when you're not expecting to get tackled by a huge football player in the middle of your scene, it was pretty crazy.
How tall?
The other crazy thing that happened was so we filmed with him for like 2 days. And after 2 days, he told me, hey, I'm a really big fan of yours. And I said, oh, wow, you know, that's crazy. I'm a big fan of yours, Marshawn. And then we kept talking. And it turns out he thought I was somebody else. He thought I was this guy who's way older than me named Leslie Nielsen. Your parents would know who Leslie Nielsen is. He was in these really funny movies called The Naked Gun. Actually, you would really like this movie called The Naked Gun. It's kind of like Children's Hospital. It's like same sort of absurd comedy. But Leslie Nielsen was this older comedian who has been dead for like 10 years. And so Marshawn said to me, you know, I'm such a big fan of yours. I can't believe I get to work with Leslie Nielsen. And I was like, that's not who I am. That's not me, Marshawn. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, Leslie Nielsen has been dead for like 10 years. My name's Rob. And he was like, what? So that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So, I heard about your experience meeting Chevy Chase, but I also want the audience to hear it. So can you tell us about your experience meeting Chevy Chase?
Yeah, well, hey, I should also ask, is your audience, the people that listen to your podcast, do you imagine it's more grown-ups or like people like your age, like teenagers?
Some teenagers do, but I think a lot of it's like, some of it's comedians, and I think a lot of it's also adults.
Okay, so just kind of comedy fans. Okay. Well, because I was trying to figure out how to explain who Chevy Chase is to people that may not know. But let's assume everyone knows who Chevy Chase is. Comedy legend. You know, he was on Saturday Night Live, I think, in the 80s. And, you know, was in Caddyshack and Vacation and all these great 80s movies. And then he was on Community. And but more importantly, he was a comedy hero of mine. And I probably never should have told this story. I told this story after it happened on a podcast, and I feel like I have to tell it a lot. And I kind of feel bad because it sort of makes Chevy sound a little bit mean, but that's okay. He might be a little bit mean.
Yeah.
So I was doing an improv show. This is maybe like 10 years ago in New York at our theater, Upright Citizens Brigade. And Chevy Chase was there, and he was going to do the improv show with us. And we were backstage right before the show, getting ready to go on. And when I saw him, I was like really excited because I grew up like a really big Chevy Chase fan. I just really always wanted to be like him. And he was just the funniest person to me. So he was talking to a friend of mine. And I thought, well, I'll just go over and I'll introduce myself because we're getting ready to go on stage together. So I'll say hi. So I went over to him and he was talking to my friend. And I said, when he was done talking, I said, hey, Chevy, I just wanted to say hi. My name's Rob. And like right as I finished saying that, he didn't say anything. He just slapped me in the face like really, really hard, like this hard, like as hard as you can slap somebody. And I didn't know what to do. Like, you know, it's like again, when some it was, for some reason, it was fine when Marshawn Lynch did it, because because Marshawn, because I was attacking Marshawn. I was running at Marshawn with a baseball bat in that TV show. So Marshawn just tackled me. But Chevy Chase, I was just saying hi to him. I literally just said, "Hey, Chevy, my name's Rob. You know, I'm a big fan." And he just went and like slapped me in the face really hard. And I don't remember what happened after that. I think he said something. I think he tried to make a little joke like, "Hey, kid, can't you see I'm talking to somebody?" You know, something like that. But it was really weird. You know, like imagine if you were talking to somebody and a total stranger came up and they said, "Hi, Dustin," and you just slapped them in the face. You know, you wouldn't do that. Like, no person would do that. So it was really weird. I think he was trying to be funny. But, you know, I was with all of my friends. Like, I was with all of my friends, and it made me feel really bad. And, yeah, it was kind of bad. Yeah. So the worst part about it was that I really loved him so much. It was like meeting my hero. You know, like, who's someone, Dustin, that you really love? Like, Dave anyone, Chappelle. Sports or Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. So let's say you went up to Dave Chappelle and said, "Hey, Dave, I just saw your concert, and I just wanted to tell you that I'm such a fan," and he just slapped you in the face. Like, it would be really weird. So that's kind of what it was like. And I think he was trying to be funny, and I feel kind of bad telling the story now because I think he's a lot older now.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Probably has dementia or something.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on with him mentally, so I don't want to. You know, I don't want to kick him when he's down, so.
Yeah, based off of the recent interviews. So,
yeah.
Have you ever, like, had any follow-up with Chevy Chase? Like, ever seen him anyway or, like, on a set or something after that?
You know, I think, Dustin, that the cops have decided to always keep us apart. You know, they know that if I get anywhere close to him, they know I'm gonna go after him. So, he has, from what I hear, he has, like, full-time bodyguards to try to protect him from me. No, I'm just joking. I don't ever see him. I think he lives in New York, and I live in California, so I don't really ever see him. It would be really weird if I did see him. But I am such a fan. I can't help it. Like, I still love him, you know?
Yeah.
I'm in love with, like, kind of his body of work that he made, you know, like, I feel like he contributed all this really cool comedy. And so I still love him for all that. So, you know, I can't stay mad at him, because I bet if I had the chance to meet him, he would say, first of all, he probably wouldn't even remember. And then second of all, he'd probably say, I do that to everybody. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Is that not cool? And I'd be like, no, that's not cool. Don't slap people.
What do you think you would do if you did have, like, a follow-up experience with him?
Well, I would like to fantasize that he would apologize, that he would say, you know, "Rob, I just want to tell you how sorry I am. And I think you're really funny and cool. And I promise I'm never going to slap you again." But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. So, let me go to my other questions. So, what was the most difficult character you have ever played?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. I'd really have to think about that. Sometimes I've been, for a long time, all I wanted to do was comedy. I didn't really ever want to do drama stuff, like dramatic stuff, because I just thought it would be boring. But then maybe, like, I don't know, like 10 years ago, I got the chance to do it in just a little bit in a movie with George Clooney, who's, like, you know, I think a really great actor. And I just had a small part in this movie called The Descendants.
The hottest man over 60.
He is the hottest man over 60. I agree. Yeah. So I got to play, like, his best friend in this movie that was in Hawaii. It was called The Descendants. But it was sort of like maybe one of the first times I got to do anything just kind of a little bit serious. It wasn't, like, super serious. Like, I was a little bit funny. But that kind of led to me doing some other kind of more serious things. I did a show on Amazon called Transparent, which was really fun and for me totally challenging, because I wasn't used to doing anything that feels real. You know what I mean? Like, I'm used to doing like I'm more comfortable doing comedy stuff because I sort of feel more confident. I know that I can come up with something that's going to be funny, and I sort of know what is funny about me. Like, I know how to make myself funny, but in dramatic stuff, I was really worried that it wasn't going to look good or it wasn't going to seem real. So I was really worried about transparent. That was, I was kind of worried about that. But it, the people, there were a lot of women directors on the show that directed that show, and they were all really great directors and really helpful and kind of made me feel confident and comfortable doing serious stuff. So that was, but that was really hard, I think. And then I would say the last thing I did, that show I was telling you about with Will Arnett, Murderville, I had to play triplets. So I had to play three different guys, but they're, you know, they're identical triplets. They're brothers. And so that was hard because I wanted to try to make them all a little bit different, even though they look like me and sound like me, to try to change it so that you could tell, oh, that's a different guy. Yeah. And I don't know. You'll have to watch it. I'm not sure I did a great job on that one, but sometimes you just try your best. And then when you see it, you're like, oh, I wish I could change that. But yeah, so that was hard to play identical triplets.
Yeah. Like, obviously you wouldn't be acting out three separate people, but like, did you ever have a scene in the show where the editors edited it so like there were three people at once?
Yeah. Wow. That's a great question, man. You really did some research. Yes, they did do that in the final scene. After the detectives go and they talk to all the suspects and they look at all the evidence, they get everyone together in one room. And so in the show, the new partner, the new detective in my episode, Marshawn Lynch, has to tell you, aha, I think it was this guy, and I think he's the murderer for this reason and this reason and this reason. So that's what he has to do. Yeah. So the way they did that is they get us all, you know, they have me, they wanted all of my, me and my brothers in one, in one spot. Yeah. And so they have to shoot it three times. And so what they do is they shoot it one time where I'm dressed as one character. Yeah. And then they shoot it again with me dressed as the other character. Yeah. And then they shoot it a third time with me as the third character. And then when they edit it together, they do a little trick where they put all those shots together and they make it look like we're all sitting there on the couch together. So it's kind of a little trick that they can do.
Yeah, I saw that in like, I don't know why. I think I was, like, at school. We were watching, like, The Alphabet or something. And I saw a trailer for this horror movie. And, like, it was about, like, I don't know why it was an ad right before, like, The Alphabet song. But, and in it, like, there was, it was, like, this horror movie. And the girl was, like, touching a mirror. And it was, like, and it was her again throughout, not a mirror, but it was, like, her in another room touching the same mirror.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool, like, special effects stuff that they can do. You know, like, now they've gotten so good at it with computers and editing and stuff that I'm really interested in that because I don't really understand it. And so whenever I get to do a TV show or a movie where they're doing that, I'm really interested in that stuff because I think it's so cool. And also stunts. I think anything with stunts, it's really fun to watch stunt performers do that, you know, like fight scenes and driving and explosions and stuff like that. I've been lucky to see a little bit of that, and I'm really interested in that stuff too. I think it's really fun to watch.
Have you ever had like a stunt performer like play you?
Yeah, it's really fun because what they do is they get someone that looks kind of like you and they have to get someone that looks, you know, that's like the same height as you and is like kind of the same body as you, you know, and then sometimes they get the person that they'll cut their hair to look just like your hair. Or in my case, like right now, I have gray hair. My hair is all gray. And so sometimes they'll just put a wig on the person, like a gray wig, you know? So, and what they do is they, there's a little trick that they do, but you have to watch like really carefully for the stunt performer. Sometimes they'll make the camera really shaky so you can't see that it's a different person than the regular actor. And then with the wig on, what they'll do is they'll shoot them from behind. They'll put the camera behind them and, you know, they'll kind of like do it like that. So it looks like that person's, you know, the stunt performer is doing all the fighting and taking hits in the face or whatever, getting hit with a car. And then for the close-ups, then they put the actor, the main actor in there.
I know,
but it's fun to watch.
You can go.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know that like in some TV shows or in movies, what they do is like, they don't show the front side of the actor. They have like, they only show the back, so because you can't get someone's face who looks like exactly the same.
Yeah, that's right. They only show up for like a split second, or they'll be kind of behind something. They'll be like behind a tree, or they'll be across the street, so you can't see it very well. Or they'll be like driving by really fast, and you can't quite tell if that's the movie star or the stunt person, you know, because they're wearing a wig.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a friend that that does. She's a really great stunt woman, and so I follow her on Instagram, and she always posts all this really cool stuff of like fight scenes and her jumping off buildings and stuff. And I think that stuff is really cool.
Yeah. So thank you so very much for being a guest on my podcast. It was an honor.
Oh, thanks for having me. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
Okay, I don't want to make your podcast go too long, but I'm really interested to know, like, what do you want to do? What do you, what are you most interested in? And kind of, yeah, what are you working on right now?
What I'm working on right now, I have my podcast. I might actually, I've been like on this web series once my stand-up comedy was featured. It's like this TV network web series. I don't know exactly. It actually was sort of shady at first, but they met through on their promise. They got me on a web series. I got my own episodes. That was pretty cool. But there's this show down, like a TV show down in Maine that like, it's a cable TV show, but still pretty cool. And I'm talking Rob Bartlett. I don't know if you know about him, but he's a comedian, and he wants to see if he can get me on because he thinks they would like my material. So I might be on that soon. And what I want to do in the future, finish high school first, continue taking some courses like Second City, check out UCB, and then I want to start writing for like, go to college and like UCLA, Emerson, like something for writing for TV. And then I want to start writing for like either a sitcom would be nice, or or like primarily a sketch show or late night talk show. But I think I'd also like a sitcom if I get enough study in that area. And then I also want to do like, later on down the line, I want to do like stand-up comedy full-time, have a TV show. I want to like, my ultimate goal is to have like a talk show, where I do sketches, sort of like Conan O'Brien, and I do monologues and interviews.
Cool. Man, that's really cool. Wish I knew what I wanted to do when I was 13. I mean, like I kind of knew, but I didn't want to say it because I was so scared that I wouldn't be able to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool that you're like, just going for it and saying what you want to do and having a plan. And the thing is that like, who knows, a lot of that may change as you become more interested in other parts of it, you know? But yeah, my advice is, I mean, you didn't ask for my advice, but just keep going. Just keep going. You know what I mean? Like, there is no, like, I used to think that there was a finish line, you know what I mean? Like, oh, and then once I got on that show, then I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to work anymore. And the truth of it is, like, you just keep going, keep going, keep making stuff. Like, just make stuff with your friends too. That's something that it took me a while to figure out, but like making stuff with your friends also makes it a lot easier, because you sort of get encouraged by them, you know, like they, you know, whether it's like funny videos you shoot on your iPhone, or, you know, making stuff for TikTok or Instagram or whatever. But it's fun to mess around with your friends, because they have good ideas, and they also can help you figure out what's funny about you. You know, like they'll say like, oh, I think it's really funny when you do that voice, or when you, that story about that thing, that's really funny. So sometimes other people can, making stuff with your friends makes stuff a lot more fun sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you so very much for being, wait, did you want to ask another question or?
No, I really appreciate it, man. It's really cool to meet you. And yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you.
Thanks. And thank you so very much for being on. And goodbye, and have an amazing day.
Okay, you too. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. Bye.